Chapter I. What is a prophet? According to the dictionary, the definition of a prophet, one who delivers divine messages, or interprets the divine will, one who foretells the future, a religious leader, or an interpreter or spokesman for the cause. Webster Illustrated Contemporary Dictionary, 1988, pp. 583. A prophetess is the female version of the prophet. In the Old and New Testaments there are many women that are mentioned as being obedient vessels for God's service. However, the title of prophetess is only given to three women in the Old Testament. They are Miriam, Exodus 15:20, Huldah 2 Kings 22:14, and Deborah, Judges 4:4. The first mention of a prophet is Abraham in Genesis 27. In this verse we read that Abraham would pray in the office of a prophet. In Exodus chapter 7 it is written that Aaron, Moses' brother, is also a prophet. Aaron would speak to the people on God's behalf. In the book of Numbers chapter 12:6 we are told that God uses dreams and visions to speak to three prophets. In the book of Amos chapter 7:12 the prophet Amos is called a seer, which meant he could have had open-eye visions and interpret the message and speak to the people. The term seer is also interchangeably with the term vision that is used in the Old Testament 77 times. God can also use dreams to speak to the non-believers like he did to Abimelech in Genesis 23. According to scripture it appears that God can use whatever means necessary to speak to whomever he needs to in order to get his message across. Chapter 2. Deborah, a unique woman ahead of her time. According to the book of Judges chapters 4 and 5, Deborah possessed many unique qualities, not only uncommon for women, but also uncommon for most prophets. The Bible describes Deborah as a wife, mother, prophetess, judge, singer, poet, and political leader. Deborah would have been a woman who had it all. As a respected judge of the Old Testament, we read that Deborah serves her God in a special governmental capacity. We can assume from the text that she possessed great talents and had an abundance of faith, wisdom, and discernment. She would not shy away from confronting any wrongdoing. It would have been Deborah's main responsibility to hear cases that were brought against people to right wrongs and render godly decisions. During the time of Judges it is referenced in Scripture that the children of Israel were in a spiritual decline and their nation was full of sin and corruption. In Psalm 33:10-12 we read that when a nation fails to give honor to God they end up in chaos. In 1 Corinthians 15:33 we read that bad company corrupts good character. Deborah is an intricate part of Israel's history during the time when they were oppressed by the Canaanites. This was the time after Joshua's rulership and this generation would not have been taught godly principles. It would have been important for Deborah to offer godly counsel, words of encouragement, and to assist the nation how to distinguish right from wrong according to God's word. There are references that Deborah possessed such a keen sense of discernment that people came from great distances to seek her judgment and wisdom in judicial actions. We read in chapter 4 of Judges that Deborah used words of victory when she faced the enemies of God and she chose her words wisely. We can learn much from Deborah as she carefully spoke and thought about what she would say beforehand, as she was God's prophetess. In her position of authority she would have been able to exercise great influence over the nation and she earned the respect of many. As Deborah hears the message of the word of the Lord and goes to Barak, she agrees to go with them into the battle at his request and she sets aside her own preconceived notions with regard to her role as a judge of Israel. She puts the will of God before her own and actively serves God with her whole heart. I believe that Deborah possessed such great faith that even before the battle had started she knew the word of the Lord to be true, bore witness in her heart and believed that when they entered the battle it had already been won. Chapter 3 Victory for a Nation. Deborah possessed a combination of authority and responsibility held only by two other people mentioned in the Bible, Moses and Samuel. While Deborah rendered her decisions under the palm tree of Deborah, she is often referred to as the mother of Israel, as she accompanied God's military leader Barak into battle against the Canaanites, who are symbolized in the Bible as the flesh of natural man. I believe this battle not only had physical but also spiritual consequences, as the children of Israel had allowed the Canaanites to infiltrate their culture and society. The Israelites adopted idol worship and gross sexual immorality from the Canaanites, as they intermarried against God's direction and thus adopting their religious practices. Barak is a capable military man, who lacks self-confidence against his enemy and he exhibits fear in the midst of the battle. He solicits Deborah to accompany him in this battle, as she literally represents God's presence in the nation, as a prophetess and judge of Israel. Deborah prophesies over Barak and tells him that she will accompany him in the battle with the glory for victory over Israel's enemy, Sisera, will go to the hand of a woman. We read that Sisera is lured into the tent of Jael as he seeks refuge. He is given something to drink and a place to rest. While Sisera lays down to rest, Jael takes a tent peg and drives it through Sisera's temple, killing him instantly. The Bible says that God subdued the king of the Canaanites and the children of Israel grew stronger. Judges 4:23 As a result of the victory Israel was able to withstand against their enemies in a powerful way. Chapter 4 Who can God use today? God has always, and will continue to use, whosoever will hear His voice. As believers in Jesus the Messiah, we were all given a mandate in the Gospels, to go therefore and preach the good news to every creature. Mark 16:15 The Bible does not specify with this mandate only men or only women. God calls everyone, that is a Holy Spirit-filled believer, to preach the good news. For centuries the church has twisted and manipulated the scriptures to devalue and downgrade women in the kingdom. Although the Bible states there is neither male nor female nor Jew nor Greek, each of us has a distinctive role to play according to our gifts, abilities and overall willingness in submission to the Spirit. Galatians 3:28 Author, Paul Norman comments in his brochure of the Palm of Deborah writes that there is a special role of women for evangelism, training children and to disciple only women, not men. The author uses these two scriptures to state his case. 2 Timothy 1:5 Titus 2:3 It is true that biblically men and women fulfill different roles in the family and in the body of Christ. Ephesians 5:22-32 If this was not the case, the Apostle Paul would have said this goes for the family, church and any woman that holds a job outside the home, but he did not say that. However, to limit God on who and how he can use a vessel according to their life experiences to minister to others is fruitless. Most believers are taught that the role of women is limited, somehow, because of their gender they are considered inferior. I totally disagree with that view. I have heard Ephesians 5 quoted that women should submit to all men, however when I read this verse, it says we are to submit to our own husbands, not all men in the church. If that were the case, then the way this verse is commonly taught, all women should submit themselves in a sexual and financial way, as well, and we know that is wrong. When doctrine contradicts God's written word, it is wrong. We are to submit to one another out of love for Christ and His Word. In these last days, God is looking for people to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, to fulfill His call with a kingdom mindset, and snatch as many people from the fire as possible. Acts 2:18-21. Hell is a real place, so much so that Jesus went there in our place so we don't have to go there. Rev 1:18. It always amuses me that those who criticize the role of women in the church are the ones least likely to fulfill the kingdom mandate and pick up the slack, so to speak, in any ministry deficiency. The opinion that women or race are somehow subservient or inferior to men while ministering in the church, I believe, is a deception of the enemy. We read in the scriptures that all believers can be equipped to share the gospel message and win the lost for Jesus Christ. I believe many people who propagate the deception that somehow women or a specific race are inferior is demonic and only causes division in the body of Christ. In ancient cultures, women and children were treated as and thought to be property of the husband in the household. This is not the case in the New Testament, as Jesus treats women in high regard, with respect, and He offers them the same forgiveness and mercy that He would offer any man, because we are all His children. We witness to Jesus' forgiveness and fair treatment of all in John 4:7 and 4:28, with a woman at the well, as she is caught in the act of adultery, and Jesus offer forgiveness, John 8:3-11, and also with Mary Magdalene, Luke 8:2. Both of these women are engaged in sinful conduct and were considered the outcasts of society, yet Jesus loved them. What a friend we have in Jesus! In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul the Apostle states, Ephesians 4:11, and he himself gave some in the Strong's Concordance 3588. This denotes feminine as well as masculine noun, to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. 12. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. NKJV. I believe this verse is one of many that give women authority to minister as the Holy Spirit needs and to all that seek Jesus as Messiah. It is clear in Scripture that God used and still uses men, women, and sometimes children to accomplish His mission and agenda, not ours.